These are the words of Jesus. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. When I was young, I thought that I was doing more chores than my sister. So I pulled out a piece of paper and I wrote down on the left side all the chores I had to do, and on the right side I wrote down all the chores she had to do. My list was longer. Early on, I learned that life is unfair. It's unfair. And yet there is something in us that wants life to be fair. Well, sometimes. I know David was talking about temptation this morning. Yes, I do have a nice apple pie. Maybe there'll be an opportunity for a slice later. We'll see. See if I hand them out. But let's see. There's a slice. There's a slice. I'm feeling hungry today. How are you feeling this morning seeing this pie? You feeling hungry? Oh, we got to hope this will hold together. It's nice and fresh. That's not all the piece. There we go. More. Oh, a little more. Got to get all this slice out of here. Yeah, getting hungry now. Wish you'd had breakfast. All right, there's 1 slice. All right, here we go. Here's another slice. You're catching on. When our pie is the smallest slice, we worry about unfairness, don't we? We get upset. But when our pie is the biggest slice, we say, thanks God for the blessings of life. Yeah, we don't worry so much about the unfairness of things, do we? We learn early on that life is not even. Matter of fact, if I even just use the word even, you're thinking even is impossible. There's no way for things to be even. Yet unevenness and unfairness can affect our behavior. The unfairness of life can cause us to have an excuse for why we won't do something. If we feel shortchanged like this, we might use it as an excuse. We might feel resentful and envious and angry. And in protest, we can say, since I received so little, I'm not doing anything with it. On the other hand, if we get more than our fair share, we can waste it. If we have more than our fair share of money, we can waste the money. If we have more than our fair share of time, it's so easy to waste our time. You see, the issue isn't that life is unfair. The issue isn't how we can make life even. The question Jesus is raising in the parable that he tells this morning is, what will we do with the hand that we've been given? What will we do with a slice of pie that we've been given? What am I going to do with what God has given me? In the scripture this morning, the master entrusts to his slaves his wealth. He wants them to use that wealth to make more wealth. So he gives them talents. A talent, by the way, was a measure of gold or silver. And a talent of gold was worth probably about 20 years of work for the average day laborer. So let's bring that into today dollars. 20 years, average day labor, we'll be a little conservative on this, and we'll just say over 20 years, about $300,000. So one slave gets five talents, one two, one one, each according to their ability. That's not even. That's not fair. To which I think if somebody had asked Jesus that question, you know, this isn't fair, he probably would have said, you know, this didn't happen anyway. It's a story I'm making up to prove a point. Well, anyway, the five-talent slave put the $1.5 million to work and made $1.5 million more. Wow. He did what his master was expecting. The two-talent slave also doubled his master's money. Tremendous. But the one-talent slave dug a hole and buried it. Who buries $300,000 worth of gold? He's afraid to take it and use it. He is risk adverse. Fear ran his life. You know, many people don't make good decisions because of fear. Fear paralyzes us. At one time in her life, writer and speaker Patsy Claremont suffered from agoraphobia. Anybody know what agoraphobia is? It is the fear that places or situations might cause you to panic and make you feel trapped or helpless or embarrassed. As a result, Patsy could not bring herself to leave her house. Now, that's absurd, of course. I mean, the chances of her falling in the bathroom, hitting her head on the bathtub, dying in a household accident, were much greater than dying in a plane crash or looking silly in front of an audience. And yet, Patsy Claremont almost let those fears defeat her. Until one day, she says, she turned her fears over to Christ. And she said that made all the difference. Today, she drives to the airport. She gets on an airplane. She flies. She stands in the middle of a stage all alone and speaks to thousands of women. But she said she came very close to digging a hole and burying her talent there because of fear. Well, back to the scripture. A long time had passed. I mean, so long that the slaves actually thought, you know, maybe the master is never coming back. But the master did. And this is what happens in the rest of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. And I know it's a long section of scripture. Most of you have it memorized. You've heard so many sermons, so try to stay with me, all right? After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me five talents. See, I have made five more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with two talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward saying, and by the way, we might say if we had a music background to this, the music would change, wouldn't it? Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed, so I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the master settles accounts. This means he wants to see what they've done with his money. The 5-talent slave and the 2-talent slave, I mean, they're excited. They can't wait to show what they've done. And yes, they're rewarded. But then we begin to hear the whining of the 1-talent slave. And as he does so, do you notice what he does? He blames his master. Master, I know you are a harsh man. So I was afraid because of you. And I hid your talent in the ground. The reason there's not more of what you gave me is because of you. Yeah, talk about passing the buck, right? But the master doesn't buy it. I mean, you can tell by the language, you wicked and lazy slave. You didn't bury the money because of me. You buried it because you're lazy. You took the easiest way out. And now I'm back. And you want to blame me. You're too lazy to even have given the money to the bankers. So the master takes the 1 talent from that slave and gives it to the guy with 10. Hey, wait a minute. That's not fair. Isn't that the point? Isn't that the point of why Jesus is telling this story? He's telling a story of unfairness, unevenness. So what point is he trying to make? I think it is this, that for those who are responsible with what they have, more will be given to them. And for those who are irresponsible with what they have, it will be taken away. What we notice in this story is God doesn't fix the unfairness. Instead, God wants us to learn how to leverage what we have, what God has given us. And one day, everybody will be accountable for what they've been given. A lady by the name of Ruth Colvin was shocked at her hometown's illiteracy rate. In other words, a lot of the kids in her town could not read. So she decided that God would have her do something about it. She said, "I was so strongly motivated by that scripture that the one we're reading this morning, the parable of the talent," she said, "I knew I had to do something with my talent." And so because she was a teacher, she set up a makeshift office in the basement of her house. She used an old refrigerator to be her filing cabinet. And she started what she called the Literacy Volunteers of America. It's now morphed into what is called pro-literacy movement. Last year, there were 85,490 volunteers giving 13.7 million hours of service. All because of a grandmotherly woman who saw a need and knew she had a talent to give. This year, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to link up with Peralta Elementary School. There is a need for volunteers. We're going to coordinate the effort to gather mentors and volunteers for the school right here in Gold Canyon. We've talked to the principal. The principal is excited about this. And who knows? Who knows how this might morph and change and the lives it might touch over the years? Who knows how the talents of church members might transform lives? So look into your bag of talents and see what you could leverage for the opportunities that God places before you. Resist the temptation to make excuses. Resist the tendency to fear. And refuse to make excuses because you don't have as much as what somebody else has. And then open your eyes to the need. Dr. Tony Campolo, who's a professor and writer and Christian speaker, told about meeting a woman who was confined to a wheelchair. Although Nancy had a handicapping condition, she developed a unique ministry to people who were lonely and who were hurting. Nancy ran ads in the newspaper in the personal section that said this: "If you are lonely or have a problem, call me. I'm in a wheelchair and I seldom get out. We can share our problems with each other. Just call. I'd love to talk." Nancy says that she gets about 30 calls a week simply from that ad. Nancy spends most of her time comforting and counseling people, and hundreds of people have now become reliant on her for help. Tony Campolo asked her how her legs became paralyzed so that she had to be in a wheelchair. Nancy said, "Well, by trying to commit suicide." She went on to explain, "I was living all alone. I had no friends. I hated my job, and I was severely depressed." Nancy decided one day that she would jump out of the window of her apartment to end it all. Instead of being killed, she found herself in the hospital paralyzed from the waist down. She said while she was in the hospital that Jesus appeared to her and said to her, "You've had a healthy body and a crippled soul. Now you will have a crippled body and a healthy soul." She said at that point, she gave her life to Christ. And she said when she got out of the hospital, she tried to think of some good that she could do for people. And she came up with the idea of that ad in the newspaper. Where others might have given up, Nancy used her talent for talking to people. After a long, long, long time, we will have to give an account of the talents we've been given. And that moment could be awesome as we remember what has been done. We all have uneven amounts of time. We all have uneven amounts of resources. But will we take responsibility for what God has entrusted to us? Or will we bury it? Anybody hungry this morning? You are? Anybody else hungry? Oh, I see Mid with half his hand up. He's just kind of twiddling his fingers. Let's see here. Aren't you wishing you sat further to the front this morning if you're sitting in the back? Let's see, we'll do this.
Ooh, God bless you.
What will you do with what God has entrusted to you? Amen.